Welcome to Journal Club for January 19th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Dix. In May of 2013, Brendan Eich, the inventor of JavaScript, stepped on stage at a conference that was dedicated to the language he created, the annual JSConf, US, this time being held in Florida. During his talk, he debuted a library called ASM.js, ASM.js. The idea behind it was fairly simple. By restricting JavaScript to a small subset of itself, a low-level, statically typed subset at that, browsers could optimize its execution to run at speeds that were close to native code. This would make it possible to port complex applications like games and multimedia tools to the web with minimal performance loss. In fact, you would even be able to take a considerable amount of your existing code base, as in C or C++, and use something like Emscripten to transpile your code right from its original source to ASM and have it run in the browser. And since support for ASM had already been quietly incorporated into Firefox Nightly a couple months earlier, this was all ready to go. Developers could start doing this immediately. ASM was a big deal, and one of the single largest performance boosts that front-end development had seen in years. And developers weren't the only ones who noticed. So did the other big three browser makers: Google, Apple, and Microsoft. In short order, those three formed a working group with Mozilla and the W3C that was dedicated to bringing something like ASM to the wider web. They called this new project WebAssembly, or WASM for short. By 2015, they were talking about it publicly, and within a few years, it gained near universal support in modern browsers. So what is WASM today? It's changed a bit from its roots, but it's kept the core idea unchanged. Developers can write code in languages like C or C++ or Rust or any one of many other languages that now have a WASM compilation target, and can compile their code and ship it to anywhere that WASM is supported. Despite its name, WebAssembly actually escaped the confines of the browser years ago. It is now just a first-class runtime for a number of different environments. WASM runs in the cloud, it runs on the edge, it runs on IoT devices, it runs on embedded systems and gaming engines, it's everywhere. And as WASM has expanded the scope of its deployments, it's also begun to run into a new set of problems. The kind of problems that weren't necessarily issues back when it was confined to the browser. Today's paper is focused on just one of those issues, just one of the growing pains that WASM developers are experiencing as they try to incorporate it up and down the stack. And that problem is the inefficiency of data exchange between different WASM modules. You see, WASM doesn't usually get compiled as one big standalone application. Each module is usually compiled separately, and then some other code within your deployment space will hook into or invoke each module as needed. For example, when you're on the web, the browser will still only execute your JavaScript by default, so you'll have your JS load and invoke individual WASM modules whenever they're needed. The WASM runtimes generally execute each module in its own standalone environment. It has its own memory, its own stack, and its own execution context. But if you're not working in the browser, this might be a problem. The module's inability to share memory might be less than ideal. You might want to be able to exchange complex data structures between modules. You might want to be able to coordinate state across them without excessive copying. But the WASM runtime doesn't make that easy. And to be clear, that is very much by design. WASM has what's called a share-nothing architecture, which means that the conventions actively discourage a developer from trying to share memory or state directly between modules. To pass or exchange data, the module needs to use explicit communication mechanisms. More recently, there have been some advancements like WASM threads that allow two modules to share some memory, but that's not enough for the authors of this paper, because those mechanisms come with significant limitations. So these authors are trying to make data exchange far more flexible, less restrictive, and more straightforward. They're trying to do something that they have a particular need for, but it's something that the maintainers of WASM could very well consider an anti-pattern: the ability to directly share complex data structures between modules without explicit copying. So, as we go through the architecture of the system they created, just keep that in mind. this thing that they built isn't necessarily something that other WASM developers would condone or encourage or ever want to be seen made into a standard. Okay, so what did they build? The authors designed and implemented what they call Karmim, a system that optimizes data exchange between modules by circumventing the share-nothing architecture. Karmim introduces an interface description language, IDL, called Karmim IDL, which provides a schema for defining structured data, functions, and memory layouts. The schema is supposed to be language agnostic so that you can share data between two modules even if their source code is written in entirely different languages. This system leverages shared memory regions to allow modules to access the shared data directly. This eliminates the overheads associated with copying and transformation. Karmim has both a custom binary format that it uses instead of a more traditional serialization format, and a memory layout strategy. The schema language provides directives for controlling memory layout, specifying fixed size vectors, dynamic allocations, and defining communication patterns. These dictate how modules interact with shared memory and function calls. Karmim includes both a code generator and a runtime. The code generator produces bindings for various programming languages, and the runtime is responsible for managing shared memory regions, memory synchronization, and access control. Put that all together, and you have a system that allows developers to share arrays of structs and structs of arrays seamlessly back and forth between different modules. The authors evaluated Karmim's performance by conducting a series of benchmarks to compare its data exchange efficiency against existing WASM methods and the standard serialization options that it supports. The tests focused on serialization and deserialization time, memory consumption, and throughput under different loads. The results showed that Karmim significantly reduced serialization overhead and achieved faster reads and lower memory consumption compared to many other methods. There were also performance improvements when performing frequent data retrieval operations. And tests on shared memory operations demonstrated that their system minimized unnecessary duplication and enhanced throughput. So, it seems like Karmim was successful and met the author's goals. Does that mean that you should pick up Karmim and incorporate it into your WASM deployments today? Not necessarily, no. As I mentioned earlier, WASM is designed with a share-nothing architecture for good reasons. Fully isolating modules keeps everything secure, predictable, and portable, and it helps developers avoid data races and unintended side effects. If you're already working with WASM and are familiar with the best practices and have outgrown them, then maybe this is worth checking out. But if you're new to WASM and just aren't willing to learn how to structure an application the WASM way, that's probably not a good enough reason. Your mileage will vary. On one hand, this system could be extremely useful. On the other hand, it could establish a pattern in your codebase that WASM was trying to protect you from. So, overall, I'd say it's worth exploring, but caution is warranted. If you'd like to go deeper into the Karmim project or try it out for yourself, please do download the paper. Now, before we go, just in case anybody is interested, there's an addendum to the Brendan Eich story that I think is fascinating. A year after he stood on that stage at JSConf and debuted ASM, he was appointed as the new CEO of Mozilla. He was the CTO just prior to that. But immediately after his appointment, word got out that he had donated $1,000 to Proposition 8, which was a 2008 ballot initiative to ban same-sex marriage in California. There was an immediate public backlash against his appointment, and he had to step down after like a week and a half and leave Mozilla entirely. So, where did he go? Sand Hill Road. He raised $2.5 million and founded Brave. And that is why we have the Brave browser today. That is literally the reason it exists. And while other privacy-centric browsers like Tor are built on Firefox, Brave is not. It's built on Chromium. You can guess why. Isn't that wild? The tech world really feels like Game of Thrones sometimes. Anyway, thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.